Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good. The devil is defeated. Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a privilege it is to be alive today. There couldn't be a better time in history that I would want to be alive. As a matter of fact, God chose the time of us being alive. He chose the place of our habitation. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that He has made all of us from one blood and chosen us to live on the earth at the time that we live and to be with the people that we live with. It's so amazing the plan that God has for us, and our God is beyond amazing. Did you know that God knows our future better than we know the past? He knows everything. God is what the Bible calls omniscient, which means He is all-knowing. He knows about everything. And here's the thing we need to understand too about God is that God is not in eternity. Eternity is in God. God holds eternity. He holds everything in the palm of His hand. So He's not on the inside looking out. He's on the outside looking in. And He can see the past, the present, the future. That's one thing that is so amazing about our God, is that He is holding eternity. Praise God. He knows everything about everything. And yes, it's playing out, but He already knows what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. Praise God. He is amazing. He is awesome. To try to figure out God and put Him in a box or understand all the ins and outs is impossible. And the Bible actually tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 that it's going to take all eternity to know what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. We're going to, for all eternity, be getting to know Him and know, excuse me, how wonderful He really is. He's our daddy. He's our father. The Bible tells us in Romans that we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have a daddy. Praise God. So glad that you've tuned in tonight. I'd love for you to take a moment and share us right now. If you are watching on Facebook, start a watch party. If you're on realityradio101.com, just go ahead and get us on social media. Send out the link to your friends, realityradio101.com. Let others know. Somehow you heard about this show, and we want others to hear about it too, and we can all be together as we pray tonight, as we look into the Word of God. I started to pull out today's message from church, and the Lord quickened me and told me to go to our Wednesday night's messages, and we're going to talk about 10 signs that we will see before the return of Christ. Jesus told us very clearly in Matthew chapter 24 and in Luke chapter 21, 10 signs that we will see before the return of Christ. And we are seeing these happen right now at an amazing, I almost said alarming, Jesus didn't tell us these things that they would happen for us to be alarmed or to be afraid. He told us that they would happen so we could be prepared. Praise God. And so there are 10 significant, specific signs that He said that we would see before the return of Christ, and we are seeing those right now. So we're going to try to get into that a little bit tonight. So go ahead and let folks know that we're on. Share us right now. Praise God. We're going to pray here in just a moment, and then we'll read our text for our radio show, which is always 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Get a pen, get your Bible, and if you have a Bible question, if you've got a praise report, if you have a testimony, if you need some help understanding something, maybe you're going through a trial right now, and you just need a friend, someone to be there to pray with you and to stand with you. We're here for you. You can call us toll free. Our number is 866-905-REAL. You can also call us worldwide, 866-656-LIPS. Those of you that can see me on Facebook or Gary, who saw me when I logged in a moment ago, you'll see that I'm wearing one of my favorite shirts that is African. And I wore this in church today because we had live today from Uganda, Kampala, Uganda, the NEMA Children's Choir from the Kajansi Miracle Center in Kampala, actually Kajansi, Uganda, which is just outside of Kampala. And they were our guests today. Pastor Daniel Mutibwa spoke to the congregation, and then the children did two different performances. They ministered. What a blessing it was. The congregation was really blessed by it. And it's always good to see our friends in Uganda. Those of you that have been listening to the radio show for some time, you know that that's one of our main mission focuses is the Nema Children's Choir, the Kajansi Miracle Center in Kampala, Uganda. We're drilling a well right now. We're just in the final stages. We have all of the money. Pastor Daniel met with the driller once again just the other day. We've also hired a person to be the eyes on the ground who has extensive experience in drilling. We want to make sure one of the things you have to be very careful of in Africa is corruption. Of course, there's corruption everywhere, but there's a lot of it in Africa. So having the right connections, especially when you're not there physically, is extremely important. So we've hired a man named Dan Kawuma, who has worked with drilling wells in Uganda for many years now. He's a pretty young guy, but very sharp. He's a born again believer, loves Jesus, believes in helping the people, and so he's helping us. So we have hired him separately to look after this project to make sure it's done right. One of our main goals with this well project in Masunkwe, which is about an hour and a half or so outside of Kampala, is sustainability. We want this well to last till Jesus comes, which could be a few months, could be a few decades, but we know Jesus is coming. We want this well to last. We want it to be to sustain and give life to these people every single day, every single year until the return of Jesus. Praise the Lord. That is our goal. So we're taking our time, we're making sure we do it right, and in just a couple months they're going to have fresh water. Right now these folks in the village, they have to go 10 kilometers in one direction every day to get water. Can you imagine? I mean, we think about getting up and taking a shower. And well, I'll take a shower today. No, maybe not take a shower today. They got to go 10 kilometers every day or they can't drink water. And then the water that they drink many times is not clean. So we're giving them clean, fresh, pure water. Giving water is giving life. And some of you that have contributed, you're a part of this work, praise God. And we have an ongoing relationship with our friends in Kampala, with Pastor Daniel, with the Nema Children's Choir, and we are going to continue to help them as they build this work. Pastor Daniel, of course, is over the Nema Children's Choir, which comes from the Nema Child Project, which is where he is over a orphanage of children that have no parents. Their parents have died of HIV, of AIDS, of the wars, and they don't have parents. And so Pastor Daniel has taken them in. He educates them, feeds them, trains them, raises them in Christ, and doing a great work. And so we're partnering with them in these projects, praise God. And we'll be going back there, Lord willing, in December. Very exciting. COVID is not going to stop us in Jesus' name. So we're believing God that we'll be able to go there. We heard some great reports from them. They've shut the borders down in Uganda over the last 3 months, and yet they're still getting, I think it's 49 meals a day that have just miraculously been provided. And God has just been so faithful. They've gotten to know God by one of his covenant names, which is Jehovah Rohi, which is the Lord our shepherd. And he has been feeding them. God's been caring for them, watching over them. We are the sheep of his pasture, praise God. And so to hear these miracles and these testimonies of the goodness of God, even in the midst of a worldwide pandemic, God is so faithful. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let's pray and get right into the word tonight. Once again, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. If you have a praise report, if you have a Bible question, maybe you're a first-time listener, we'd love for you just to write us or call us and say hello. You can do that. The information is right there on Facebook, or it's also on the web browser that you're watching, realityradio101.com, and you can call us toll free, or you can email us in studio101@gmail.com. Bible question, praise report, testimony. Love to hear from you tonight. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Father, we're so grateful and thankful for your love, that you are Jehovah Rohi. You are the Lord our shepherd. You are the one who takes care of us, who feeds us, who makes us to lie down in green pastures, who leads us beside the still waters. You are so faithful. You're faithful to your name. You're faithful to your word because you've exalted exalted the word above your own name. We ask you tonight for a flow of the Holy Ghost. We ask you for wisdom, for revelation from heaven. We pray, Father, that you would answer questions, that you would meet needs, that lives would be changed through this radio broadcast. We pray, Father, that your spirit would fill the room and the place where people are gathered together tonight as we are trusting you and looking to you. This is Sunday night as we begin our week. This is the first day of the week, also known as the third day, when Jesus was raised from the dead. And we rejoice today, Father, that Jesus is alive forevermore, and that same resurrection power is living on the inside of every born-again believer. We thank you, Father, that we are your children. We are the sheep of your pasture, and we trust you and we praise you tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now together we join our faith and we curse COVID-19 over Canada, over the United States, over Uganda, over all of the world. We curse COVID-19 in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus against COVID-19. And we say right now that it is cursed, it is broken in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we're just so thankful that we know your will. We're so thankful that we have your word and that we know that you're a good God and that you would never send COVID-19 because you don't have it in you to send it. No, man, you're the God of healing. You're the God of health. You're the God of blessing. And we trust you tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's read our text. Once again, as we're turning there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we're going to read it out of the Passion. Love to hear from you. If you have a Bible question or praise report, testimony, email us instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. If you're a first-time listener, let us know where you're listening from. We'd love to hear from you. Praise God. Maybe you're a long-time listener. Love for you to give us a shout-out tonight. instudio101@gmail.com, or you can call us. All the information is on your browser or right there on Facebook. Praise God. All right, our scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:13 to 15, and it reads, "We having the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures, when it says, 'First I believed, then I spoke in faith,' so we also first believe, then we speak in faith." Praise God. Remember that there is no faith without corresponding action. There is no faith without words. We know from Romans chapter 4 that Abraham is our father of faith, that he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. God said that you will be Abraham, or the father of many nations. And he began to speak what God said. And then after many years, after his faithfulness, the promise came. Praise God. You know, we don't always see the manifestations right away. But the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 2 Corinthians 5. We just now read chapter 4. But in chapter 5, and verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." The Passion Translation says, "For we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes." In other words, we don't go and speak just what we see. Some people say, well, if you say things that you don't see, then you're lying. No, you're not lying. If you're speaking God's word is not a lie. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." When you speak the word of God, you are speaking truth. Praise God. And Abraham, when he began to say, "I am Abraham," he was saying, "I'm the father of many nations," and yet his wife was 90 years old and had never had a baby. He's almost 100 years old, had not had a baby with Sarai, and yet God said, "From Sarai will come your seed," not from Hagar, not Ishmael, will not be your seed. He will be a great nation, but he will not be the promise. The promise will come from Sarah, and you will call his name Isaac. Praise God. And so Abraham had to believe God. He had to hope against hope. He had to believe God even when what he saw didn't make any sense. And so he continued to speak the word of God. We having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. He said in Romans chapter 4, before, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things that be not as though they were. In other words, we don't just say what we see, we don't just say what we feel, but we say what the Word of God says. Walking by faith and not by sight. That is the job of a believer, praise God. And so we, having that same spirit of faith, we also first believe, then speak in faith. We do this because we are convinced that he who raised Jesus will also raise us up with him, and together we will be brought into his presence. Yes, all things work for your enrichment, so that more of God's marvelous grace will spread to more and more people, resulting in even greater increase of praise to God, bringing him even more glory. God gets glory when you walk by faith. And when you walk by faith, you will get results. Sometimes people say, well, you know, God hasn't answered my prayer. Well, right there, you're not in faith. Because the Bible says, whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive. Believing that you receive, believe is the word faith. The same Greek word for believe is the same Greek word for faith, and it's the Greek word pistis. P as in Paul, I-S-T-I-S. Pistis means confidence, assurance, persuasion. The just, four times the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. We are to live by faith, walk by faith, speak faith. That's what pleases God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, you cannot please God. It is absolutely impossible to please God without faith. Now, God will love you. God will give you mercy as much as he can. But understand this, his language is faith. When we were in church today and we were worshiping God, and I started to minister, and as I was ministering just a little bit out of my spirit, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, praise is the language of faith. Of victory. Praise is the language of victory. And of course, we know from 1 John chapter 5, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith is what produces victory. The word victory means of success. The way that we get success is through faith. So we are to pray according to God's word, believe that we receive, and then we will have what we prayed for. He said in Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. That is God's promise. But many times you don't see an instant manifestation. You have to believe. You have to stand, which means you got to call those things that be not as though they were, speaking God's word regarding your situation. I have a series that I actually got from Brother Hagin many years ago, and you can get it as well if you go onto YouTube, and it's called 7 Keys to Answered Prayer. 7 Keys to Answered Prayer. Works every time. I have it hanging up in our sanctuary at church. It's right on the wall on a banner. 7 Keys to Answered Prayer. And it works every single time. Praise God. As a matter of fact, you can purchase that series from us, or you can just go on to YouTube and watch it for free. Our website is spiritoffaithradio.com. That's spiritoffaithradio.com. And our church website is wordoffaithtoronto.com. That's wordoffaithtoronto.com. If you don't have a church, check us out, wordoffaithtoronto.com. We got people from all over the world that have made us their home church because God has led them to. And they tune in every single week. And it's just such a blessing to be able to feed you, to help you. We're big believers in the local church. We think it's critically important. But of course, we are in a new day and a new hour. We are in this post-COVID time, and a lot of people are not able to go to church, and there's different reasons for that. So in the meantime, you need to find yourself a good church. If you don't have a good church, check us out, wordoffaithtoronto.com. In Jesus' name, praise God. Let's get to a couple emails here, and then if you got your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to get right into the Word. Praise the Lord. Francis writes us tonight and says, hello, I'm a first-time listener to your radio program. I heard about you from a friend. Praise God for your friend, Francis. I am a new believer. Praise our Lord. Francis from Tucson. I used to say Tucson till somebody taught me how to pronounce that. So glad to hear from you tonight, Francis, and we're so blessed that you're able to tune tune in tonight and that you're a new Christian. We rejoice with you. The Bible says that when someone repents and gives their life to Jesus, all the angels in heaven are rejoicing over one sinner that repented. And we are so blessed. I was that sinner 27 years ago, gave my life to Christ, and he changed my life forever. It's an awesome journey, Francis. I hope you buckle your seatbelt and you stay for the full ride, praise God. Not everybody does, but you know, the Bible tells us in Philippians 1:6, he says, or 1:6, I believe it's 1:6, he that began a good work in you shall be faithful to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 24, Jesus said, he that endures until the end, the same shall be saved. So, Father, we just pray for Francis right now. We pray you pour out your blessings upon him. Let your grace be manifested upon him. Thank you for Jesus becoming the most real person in Francis's life. I pray, Father, you put him in a good church and that he's taught the word of God and that Francis becomes stronger and stronger in you from this day forward. Fill him with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And we give you praise for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, Francis. So glad to hear from you tonight. If you'd like to email us, you can do so in studio101@gmail.com, or you can call us toll free by dialing our number, which is, Gary, help me out. My eyes are not finding it.
I will pull those numbers up. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio. And the numbers, by the way, you are tuned into Reality Radio. They're right on the player window. Right, if you look right at what you're looking at, you can see all the numbers. But I will give them to you. Our local GTA Toronto number is 905-725-1907. North America toll-free, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. And, of course, you can email us directly right now. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com.
Praise God. Got another email here tonight from Ralph. Ralph Concita says, hi, Pastor. So happy to hear that the Well Project is going well. Bless you for that. That is an amazing feat, to say the least. You are giving those people life. What a gift. Thank you. Well, we're all doing it together, Ralph. And what's so exciting about this particular project is that Pastor Daniel is moving the orphanage from the city out to the country, and we're building this well in Masunkwe, and he's just doing a great work there. They're also doing what they call the sustainability project, where they have bought acreage and they're growing crops and then selling them in order to pay for what's needed for the orphanage, for the children, and for their future. And so it's really exciting to be a part of the team, to be a part of what they're doing there. Praise God. So thank you for that. Got another email here tonight from Sam. Sam says, Pastor, can you answer this question? Where was Jesus for 3 days between his death and resurrection? I am not really clear on that answer. Thank you. Sam, that's a great question. We have answered it before on the radio show, but I'm more than happy to answer it again. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. And we could turn to Psalms, but I'll just give it to you, and then you can write it down. Those of you that might be new Christians or first-time listeners, remember this, and you might even want to write this down, because this is critically important when you're looking for a church or when you're trying to find answers. Never believe the words of a preacher. If he or she cannot show you in the Bible, you're under no obligation to receive it. A preacher's job, a pastor's job, is not to teach you and feed you their opinion. Their job is to give you the word of God. Jeremiah 3:15 says, I have given you pastors after my own heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So my job is to give you the word, to give you what God has said about any particular subject, and not what my denomination preaches, not what I think, not what my opinion is, but what the word of God says. And so there are many that have said that Jesus did not go where I'm about to show you the Bible says, that he couldn't have gone there, that he just died physically and then went with Jesus. It's a bunch of confusion because it's totally contrary to the word of God. So let's see where he went. Go with me to Acts chapter 2, And let's begin reading with verse 21, Acts 2:21. Of course, this is Peter's sermon, his first sermon, right after he was baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and then he preached the gospel and 3,000 people got saved. Listen to part of his sermon, Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David spoke concerning Jesus, I foresaw the Lord always before my faith. He's quoting here now Psalm 16, verse 8. I saw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rejoice in hope, because you will not leave my soul in hell. When Jesus died on that cross, he said, my God, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that moment on the cross, Jesus was made sin. Now, Jesus didn't commit a sin and then become a sinner. No, the Bible says that it pleased the Father, Isaiah chapter 53, to bruise him. It pleased the Father to take the sins of the world and put them on Jesus. And at that moment, God took every one of our sins from the past, from the future, and all of the world's sin, put it on Jesus, and Jesus was made sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he that knew no sin was made sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So there was a trade that took place. Jesus became sin, and through our faith in him, we are made righteous. You don't become righteous because of good works. See, I was taught that you grow in righteousness. You don't grow in righteousness. You grow in grace. You grow in maturity, but you don't grow in righteousness. You cannot be 50% righteous. You are either 100% righteous or you're an unrighteous heathen. When you come to Christ, it's not because of your good works, your good looks, because of anything that you've done. It's because of the gift of God. For we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. And so when we become righteous, it's because we believe on him. We trade with Jesus, and we become righteous because he became sin for us. And at that moment on the cross, when he became sin and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now he was separated from the Father because of you and I, because of our sin. And at that moment, he said, it is finished. He had completed everything he came to do, which was the law of Moses. All 613 mitzvahs, commandments, were fulfilled. And then Jesus gave up the ghost, and he was taken by demons directly to hell. And for 3 days and three nights, Jesus suffered unspeakable things in hell. Praise God. He suffered and he was tormented. And you know, we say 3 days and we say, 3 days isn't very long. But for Jesus, it was an eternity. Because remember, there is no time in eternity. It is forever. And so it was as if he was there forever. But at the same time, Jesus was in hell knowing the promise of the Father that he will not leave my soul in hell, neither will his flesh see corruption. Jesus's flesh did not corrupt, did not stink like Lazarus's stunk after 4 days. Jesus did not stink. Jesus's body was preserved. And after 3 days and three nights, early on Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit energized his body. When Jesus was down in hell, Colossians chapter 1 says that he threw off principalities, he threw off powers, he made a show of them openly. His spirit came up out of hell. He stopped off and he preached captivity to the captives, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us, and then his body came alive, his spirit back into his body, praise God. I can imagine that he sat up there and he looked, and the grave clothes were kind of, maybe the napkin fell on the floor, and he picked up the napkin, the Bible says, and he folded it. When John found it, it was folded, and then all of the garments that were there, the garments that he had been wrapped in, they were also right there. And then the angel came and rolled back the stone. The angel didn't roll the stone for Jesus to get out. Jesus could have passed right through the stone, passed through the walls. There were no limitations. So we find that in John chapter 20 and in other places, that when Jesus appeared unto the multitudes, he just appeared right in front of them. He didn't knock on the door. He didn't walk through the door. He just appeared, praise God, in his glorified body. When he appeared to Thomas, he said, "Touch me, for a spirit has not flesh and bone as you see me have." Jesus had his same body that they killed, except instead of blood flowing through his veins, he had the glory of God flowing through his veins. And 1 John chapter 3 tells us that that those that have this hope on the inside, that when we see Jesus, that we're going to see him like he is, and we will be like him. When you physically see Jesus the next time, you are going to be like him. You are going to get a glorified body. No more flesh and blood, but you will have flesh and bone. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Or incorruption inherit, yeah, that said it right the first time. So we are going to get a brand new body. 1 Corinthians 15 says that in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we shall be changed. For this mortal must put on immortality, this corruption must put on incorruption. And when that happens, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The death of the sting of you can read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, praise God. I don't mean to misquote it. But that's where Jesus went, Sam. Jesus went to hell, and he spent 3 days and three nights in hell suffering for you and I so that we would never have to go there, praise God. Awesome question. Got another email here tonight from our friend. Oh, my email just crashed on me. Stand by one moment. Glory to God. Technology is great until it doesn't work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Got another email here tonight from our friend Sean. Sean says, hello, second time listener. Welcome back, Sean. I listened to you several months ago. Loved the show then, love the show now. Praising our Lord. Thanks for the COVID prayers. We still need them here in the world right now. You are sounding great in Lexington, Kentucky. God bless you, Sean. So great to be with you tonight. Glad you're tuning in. Got another email here tonight from our friend Helga. Ooh, I love that name, Helga. Hello, Pastor. I hear people use this term Godhead. Have you heard it? What does it mean? Is it in the Bible? Thanks. That's a great question. I also use it. Let's see where it is in the King James real quick. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll answer it from there. And let's see what other verses we can find for Godhead. Thank you, Jesus. So Acts chapter 17 and verse 29, it says, "For as much then as we are his offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art of man's device." Now the word Godhead comes from the Greek word theos. Theos means godlike, divine, Godhead. Head, a general name of deities or divinities as used by the Greeks, spoken of the only and true God, the Trinity, of Christ, of the Holy Spirit, and of the Father. So Godhead here represents all three in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Then we see another reference in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. I actually referenced this during church today. It says in verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The word Godhead here is very similar, theotes, which is a different conjugation of this word that we just looked at, and it means the same thing. It's talking about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then we see this word again in the King James in Colossians chapter 2 in verse 9. It says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." This is talking about Jesus, but it's talking about Jesus being the fullness of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, we also understand what the different roles of the Trinity are when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe. Go there real quickly, 1 Corinthians 12. Turn in your Bibles, please. It's good to put your eyes on the Word of God. Remember, never believe the words of a preacher. If they can't show you in the Bible, don't believe it, don't receive it. Always check everything out. I said, always check everything out. I said, always check everything out. Don't just buy it, man. Don't buy it. Don't buy it. Check it out. It's okay to scrutinize. It's okay to say, hey, is this really God? Check it out. Jesus didn't criticize Thomas for wanting to feel him. He criticized Thomas for not believing. Praise God. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, very important verses, verses 4 through 6. "Now, there are diversities or distinctions or varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit." So notice here, the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit is given to the Holy Spirit. And we find in Genesis chapter 1 that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." The Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the waters, but he didn't do anything till the Father, God, said, "Let there be light." Jesus was the word that he spoke. The Hebrew says that the Father said, "Light be," and light was. But the Holy Spirit was the one who manifested that light. Verse 5 tells us the work of the Son, of Jesus. "And there are diversities of ministries." This word administrations in the Greek means ministries, but the same Lord. Jesus is the Lord over the church. Colossians 1 tells us he's the head of the church. He's the head of the ministries. What ministries are we talking about? Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. "For God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, the perfecting of the saints, till we all come into the unity of the faith." So God has given these fivefold ministries, and Jesus is the head of these ministries. Then in verse 6, he tells us there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. The Father is the chief operations officer. Jesus is the head administrator, and the Holy Spirit is the manifestor. So we see the Godhead working together, all perfectly in one Godhead. In other words, there are three individuals in the Trinity. God the Father is a spirit. Jesus is a spirit. Holy Spirit is a spirit. They are not all one spirit. They are three individual spirits. But the word "one" is a uniplural word, meaning that it's describing three individuals in one Godhead, meaning that the Godhead only does everything together in total unison. There is no division. There is no schism. They are perfectly joined together in everything that they do. Jesus said it like this: "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And we just read in Colossians where he says that, let me just go back and read it real quick. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, "For in him," in Christ, "dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In Hebrews chapter 1, it also says the same thing, that in Christ is the fullness of the Father. The perfect representation of the Father is in Jesus. Praise God. That was a terrific question. I don't know that we've taught on that
on the radio show. If you have a question tonight, if you have a praise report, a Bible question, a testimony, just email us, instudio101@gmail.com. If you're a first-time listener, we'd love to hear from you, instudio101@gmail.com. Or you can, of course, call us toll-free. Won't cost you a penny. The information is right there on your browser. Praise God. Got another email here tonight from our friend Walter. Walter says, hello, I always enjoy your show. Such very good insight and teachings. Thanks for that. May the Lord keep you and your family free from this illness so that you may continue your ministry. Thank you, Pastor. Amen, Walter. God bless you for that. And we are staying free because we're staying in Christ. Amen. I love what Pastor Mark Hankins says. You look a whole lot better in Christ than you do out of Christ. But that is a daily choice that we have to make to abide in him. Jesus said in John 15, he that abides in me and I in him, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. But notice that the choice is on us to continue in him, to abide in him. It's a choice that every one of us have to make every day. And we know that Satan, who is a mad terrorist, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Who are those that are devourable? The ones that don't abide in Christ. Romans chapter 13 in verse 14 says this, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The word provision is the Greek word pronoia, P-R-O-N-O-I-A, which means don't give forethought and don't give supply. Don't give forethought, don't give supply. How do you do that? Well, the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So you make a choice. No, I'm not going to give place to that unforgiveness. I'm not going to give place to those feelings of hurt because of what someone did or didn't do. No, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to walk in forgiveness. I'm going to walk in love because God has commanded me to walk in love. Matthew 18, Jesus said, if you don't forgive every person from your heart, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And so there's nobody in heaven that's got unforgiveness, not one single person. Everybody in heaven has been forgiven by God. And we, you and I, will not get to heaven if we have unforgiveness in our heart. And that's one of Satan's biggest traps, is to get us into a place where we have unforgiveness in our heart because someone has hurt us. You say, well, there's certain things you just can't forgive. Says who? It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you have to forgive every single person, regardless of what they've done. Praise God. The Bible also tells us in Romans 12 to give place unto wrath. God says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let God deal with them. Let God fix them. But listen, you know, anybody who's born again, who's got the love of God inside their heart, you don't want to see anybody go to hell. You don't want to see anybody pay that eternal price forever and ever and ever. Hell is a real place, and hell is for eternity, and you don't want nobody to go there. If you've got the love of God in you for real, you don't want anyone to go to hell except Satan. He can go there and burn forever, praise God, but not humans. Humans are never supposed to go to hell. Humans are supposed to be with Christ and live on this earth forever. That's God's will, praise God. Got another email here tonight from our friend John. John says, hi everyone, praying for your ministry and praying to keep you all healthy. Pastor, what is meant by a redeemer in biblical terms? Was Christ the only redeemer, or were his apostles also redeemers? Thank you for your answer. So that's a great question. When we think of the redeemer, the word redeem means to buy back. So when it comes to buying back, what is he talking about? Well, it's talking about buying us back from the hands of Satan. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Well, how did humans become owned by the enemy, by Satan? Well, it happened in the Garden of Eden. When Adam sinned and committed high treason against God, and disobeyed God, Adam died. He didn't die physically at that moment. It took his body 913 years to figure out how to die. But at that moment, he died spiritually. He was separated from God. And so every one of his offspring, including you and I, were separated from God because of the similitude of Adam's sin. and we needed a redeemer. And so what did Jesus do? Well, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3 that one of the first things that God did is he killed an animal. I believe it was a lamb, but the Bible doesn't tell us. He took the skin of that animal, soaking wet, and he wrapped Adam and Eve in that skin and said, I will redeem you. I will come and get you. And then he told Satan that the seed of the woman is going to bruise your head, going to nail you, going to destroy you. And that's what Jesus did. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, for this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, the works of the devil was to bring eternal damnation upon all of humanity. But God sent a redeemer. The word redeem means to buy back. And he bought us back from Satan with what? With the blood of himself. God's own blood. The blood of God was shed on that cross on Calvary. And that blood was used to purchase you and I from the hand of the enemy. Another word here to go along with redeem or redeemer is the word ransom. Ransom means to pay a sum in order to get a result. And he ransomed us by using the blood of Jesus to purchase us from the hand of the enemy. Now, the word redeemer simply means to buy back. So if you read in the book of Ruth, you also find this man named Boaz. And Boaz was what we call a kinsman redeemer. Now, kinsman redeemer means that if one family member had died, let me rephrase. If a husband had died and the wife is now a widow, then if that husband who died had a brother, that brother would then come and marry her and redeem her and then have children, help her get pregnant in order to have children and carry on the family line. He would be called a kinsman redeemer. And they would go down the line from brother to cousin, etc., to be a kinsman redeemer. And so Boaz was the kinsman redeemer, praise God. That's an awesome story. If you've never read the book of Ruth, I encourage you to take a few minutes and read that book. It'll be a great blessing to your life. John, that was an awesome question. We've never dealt with that question before. That was really good. I'm sure that blessed a lot of people. Got another email here tonight from Andy. Andy says, Pastor, is baptism necessary for salvation? And if so, what do we that are not baptized have to do to get baptized? Thanks. That's a great question, Andy. So let me draw your attention to Matthew chapter 28. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, right before he ascended up to the right hand of God, he's on the Mount of Olives, and that's where Jesus ascended up to the throne, up to the right hand of the Father, was from the Mount of Olives. And just before he was raised up, the Bible tells us in Matthew 28, beginning verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke, saying, all power. The word power here is the Greek word exousia, which means authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach. The word teach is the Greek word that means to make disciples, not converts, but disciples. A disciple is a follower, a disciplined one. He said, make disciples of all ethnos, all nations, all ethnic groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This is a command to baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. Now, some would say, well, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that we're to be baptized in the name or into the body of Jesus. And that is absolutely true. But notice what Mark's account says in Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 15. This is the same account, but it comes from St. Mark. We also know him as John Mark, who was on missionary journeys with Paul. And on his first missionary journey, John Mark forsook Paul on the mission field. And it was so bad that the dissension between Barnabas and Saul caused Barnabas to separate from Paul's company. But John Mark got redeemed. John Mark got things together. John Mark became an amazing amazing apostle, praise God. So notice here in verse 15 of Mark chapter 16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized. Now believing means that we are born again. Baptize, or the Greek word baptizo, means to be immersed. Now you could be immersed in the Word of God, you could be immersed in the name of Jesus, you could be immersed in the Holy Spirit, but you could be immersed in butter. But the word immerse here is talking about immersed in water, praise God. So is water baptism necessary? Yes, water baptism is a commandment. And it's a commandment for every believer. Water baptism is telling the world, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. It's an outward evidence, an outward manifestation of what has taken place on the inside. Romans chapter 6 says, beginning with verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Praise God. And so with water baptism, we identify with Christ when we go down into the water, that like as he died and went to hell, we died with him. And when we come up out of the water, as Christ was raised from the dead, we are now risen to new life, and we now walk in this newness of life. Praise God. Now, if you got born again today, Andy, and something happened and your heart stopped beating, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You go to be with heaven. But here's the issue. The Bible commands us to be water baptized. If you go 20 years and you have not been water baptized, are you really a disciple? How can you be a disciple and not be obedient to the Word of God? Your pastor's been working on you. The Holy Spirit's been working on you. Other believers have been working on you, and you refuse to do it. Well, Jesus said, if you'll be ashamed of me before men, I'll also be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. Jesus said, how do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do those things that I tell you? So how can you say Jesus is Lord, get born again, and then refuse to do what your Lord tells you? Is water baptism necessary? Absolutely, 100%. How do you get baptized? You just call your church. If you called us up, if you're in Toronto, we'll arrange for you to get baptized. We'll do it in the church. Won't cost you a penny. You don't have to be a member of the church, and you can do it now, even in the middle of COVID. You could also go down to the lake and have someone baptize you. Doesn't say it has to be a pastor or an apostle, but you should be a couple believers, and you can get baptized. I baptized my son at the church. I baptized my daughter in a lake. If you want to get baptized, you can get baptized. It ain't that deep. Praise God. Great question, Andy. Thanks so much for writing. Got another email. We're not going to get to Matthew 24 and Luke 21 tonight. Praise God. Got a couple more minutes for a few more emails. If you want to email us, instudio101@gmail.com, or you can call us toll free. The information is right there on your browser or on Facebook. Praise God. Email here from Paul Scorsese. Boy, that name sounds familiar. Hello, Pastor John. My question, does the Bible say anything about tattoos? My 18-year-old son wants to get one, and I told him that it is not biblical. We are, I think, good Christians. Thanks. Amen. Okay, so great question, Paul. Yes, the Bible in Leviticus talks about not getting skin tattoos. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. But I got to give you some more information on this, because we're not under the law, we're under grace. And I know some good Christians, not personally, but I see them, especially the younger people, but even folks a little younger than I am. I'm 48. Those in their early to mid 40s getting tattoos and all this kind of stuff. I personally don't get it. I do agree with what the Bible says about not doing it. Is a tattoo going to damn your soul? No, it's up to them. I know that folks that, you know, are 18, 19, 20 and get a tattoo, when they hit 50, 51, that tattoo is going to look a little different than it did when they got it at 18. Here's a couple things we need to ask ourselves. Hold on just one second. Let me get this verse out of Leviticus. On tattoos. It is found. Oh, that's not it. Hold on one second. Leviticus. And it says in Leviticus 19, verse 28. Now, once again, we are not under the law. We are under grace. So you're not, if you get a tattoo, I pulled up Leviticus 19, 28. Somebody actually had Leviticus 19, 28 tattooed on them. Praise God. It says, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoos any marks on you. I am the Lord. So this is under the law. And of course, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, I am the Lord and I change not. So it's not God's will for us to get tattoos. But is tattoo going to damn you to hell? Absolutely not. I don't see it anywhere in Scripture where it's going to damn you to hell. But at the same time, you know, what's the purpose in doing it? Why mark up your body? Does it bring glory to God? Well, the Bible tells us that everything that we do, we should do for the glory of God. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let me pull it up real quick. Glorify God in your spirit and your body. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Is that tattoo going to bring God glory? And that's a question you have to ask. As a pastor, I'm not the judge. I'm not somebody who is your Lord. And if your 18-year-old son is born again, he needs to ask God. And I would encourage you, my friend, don't make your relationship strained because of a tattoo. It's not worth it. Let the love of the Father shine through you. Love your son. Give him advice. Pray for him. Ask the Lord to reveal his will to him. But don't drive a wedge in your relationship with your son over a tattoo. It's absolutely not worth it. You know, he needs to see your wisdom, but he also needs to see the love of the Father shining through you. And God is not a God who is going to, drive his will in us beyond our will. If we don't want to submit to God's will, God is not going to make us do anything. That's just not part of his character. Thanks for that great email. Got another email here tonight from Carla. Carla says, hello, happy Sunday, praise and give thanks to our Lord. Stay healthy. We love you from Syracuse, New York. Just saying hello to you and your staff, Carla. Carla, so great to hear from you. Thanks for that lovely hello. Got another email here tonight from our friend Ron. Ron says, hello, sounding great in Greenville, South Carolina. Praying for you and the world daily. This virus has killed too many people. Love your ministry on the air. May God bless you. Thanks, Ron. Ron, great to hear from you tonight, and great to hear from everyone tonight. What a privilege it is to come into your week every Sunday night from 8:30 to 9:30. We want you to remember until next week how much we love you. We are praying for you. Remember that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.